Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider College Podcast presented by Firehouse and Docks. Head down to Firehouse and Docks this weekend, beginning Friday. Some great football. Got Iowa playing on Black Friday as well as Iowa State. Of course, Iowa's in Lincoln to take on Nebraska, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But week 12 already, Mitch, and things have kind of sorted themselves out here. Still a few games left, but kind of have a good idea what's going on here and what has to happen.
Definitely. Some key points I gathered from Saturday. Iowa State is shooting themselves in the foot. You know, what have you. It happens almost every year. Still not a down year. I need people to get off Matt Campbell's back for saying they build characters and not they don't care about winning Big 12 championships. He obviously cares about winning Big 12 championships. If you're mad at a coach for trying to take young high school kids and grow them into men, there's something wrong with you. But other than that, football-wise, Ohio State, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, they came to play.
Ohio State and Utah, out west.
Oh, man. Those two games to me were, I wouldn't say head-scratchers because I could have seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oregon throughout the year in the Pac-12 hadn't played anyone worth a crap, honestly.
Yeah.
And they finally play a good team in Utah, and Utah brought it to them. They did not take their foot off the gas whatsoever. And they made it a point of emphasis on that kick return to end the half, too, to put them up,
they did.
Basically.
That was a backbreaker.
That was any hope if you were an Oregon fan for it to come back and win that game, it was over. And then Ohio State, C.J. Stroud put his name on his chair going to New York for that Heisman race there. He did all of it in the half, really, too. I don't think he played much of the second half.
No, he didn't.
And Michigan State, man, from us sitting a couple weeks ago talking about it's okay that you're ranked behind Michigan because you just lost your first game.
Mm-hmm.
Now this Michigan State team is scratching and clawing to be like, all right, what bowl game are we going to be in because we just got embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why you don't do $95 million deals in the middle of the week before kickoff.
Yeah.
You know? So it's You just can't have those distractions going on. And when you get pounded like they did, not all of it goes to that, but it had some play in there. You know, I'm not sure where the focus was, but it just shows you how good Ohio State is. And they're definitely inside their stadium, the Horseshoe in Columbus. And then you, like you say, Oregon, and you're like, you flip the calendar back and you're like, how the hell did Oregon win in Columbus, you know? So, you know, college football, I think you get a different team every week almost, and just happened to be their day that day in Columbus. But Ohio State is definitely earning their stripes right now, and they deserve to be where they're at.
Definitely, and that's going to be the huge thing of what we talked about, too. You get a different team almost every week. You know, you've had that, like, we'll talk about Iowa State. Iowa State plays against Oklahoma State, hands them their only loss of the year, plays extremely great football.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on the road and lose against Texas Tech. They go on the road and lose against West Virginia. They lose against, you know, an Oklahoma team. But then we'll switch to the Big Ten side, who has a monumental game in the state of Michigan this weekend.
Yeah.
And that is Michigan-Ohio State. Can Harbaugh win that game? You need Michigan to play how they've been playing as of late and not how they played against Michigan State and not how they played earlier in the year to where we were like, is this Michigan team really that good or are they just beating some kind of bad teams? Handle business against Maryland, 59-18. But I know even if you're a player in that locker room, you understand, you can tell the media all you want. We focus on the task at hand. There are definitely people peeping that score that was played in the Horseshoe going, man, the team that took us to the wire that we barely lost to got absolutely ran out of the building.
Yeah.
You know, you have to – it's a rivalry game. It's huge. You know, both these teams hate each other. Teams in the state of Ohio don't have M's on anything. And, you know, they call Ohio State like they don't have the V anymore. It's – these guys – hate each other.
Yeah.
So this game, this upcoming week, it's the biggest game in college football to this point. You could argue Bedlam, but with the way that Oklahoma is playing and the way that Oklahoma State has been playing the entire year, I don't think it's as close of a game as this anticipated of a game as this matchup is. And the two teams aren't in the top five or top six or whatever you want to put it at, too. You got Ohio State, I think, ranked at two. Michigan is sitting on the outside looking in at either, I think, five or six.
Yeah.
A big win here moves them inside. Now, if you play, more than likely they would then play again.
Well, just the winner will
advance. Oh, the winner would advance to the championship. Yeah. And I would assume that the winner that advances to the championship – would it play, I would assume, Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, Wisconsin's in the driver's seat right now. They traveled to Minnesota this weekend, and the scenario that plays out there is they win, they're headed to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. If somehow Minnesota upsets Wisconsin, and, you know, the game's in Minnesota, and that's a pretty good rivalry, and then you got Iowa playing Black Friday in Lincoln. If Iowa should beat Nebraska and Minnesota wins, then Iowa would make the trip to Indianapolis and represent
even
the
with
West.
The tiebreaker that they have?
Yeah.
Oh, because Iowa just has a less conference loss, I would assume?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you're Michigan, you win, then I think you either swap places with Ohio State or Ohio State comes out. Now Ohio State doesn't get to play in a Big Ten championship game. There's no way for them to jump back in.
Yeah.
So whoever wins this game, I think, is locked in
for a four
spot. And I think whoever loses, you know, you're going to probably a New Year's Six Bowl, but it's definitely not something that you wanted to be looking for when the year started. So that's going to be just – there's so much on the line for this game, not only for just players' sake but coaches' sake. I think if you start to look at the tenure that Harbaugh has at Michigan – it's like, okay, he's getting us 8-win seasons, but we still haven't beaten Michigan State this year. We still haven't beat Penn State every year, and we haven't beaten Ohio State yet.
Yep.
This is year as good as ever for them to do it. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think the way that Ohio State's playing proposes probably the most difficult matchup they've had. Yeah. It's easy to say, looking on paper, they're the highest ranked team that they played.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with looking at what Michigan State did to them and with their running back, we were talking a couple weeks ago that Ohio State had a Heisman hopeful at running back too. And then all of a sudden, you know, the quarterback play, CJ Stroud, has gone over what Henderson has. Mm-hmm. But there could be a field day for the Ohio State backfield coming up on Saturday if Michigan isn't careful.
Yeah, it really could. And, you know, I'm just looking at C.J. Stroud's game. Unbelievable, he's a freshman. And then his trio of receivers there at Ohio State have really, over the last eight quarters, they've really done some damage. And I'm just not convinced that Michigan quarterback McNamara can trade points with C.J. Stroud. I think Michigan's approach will be ball control. And, I mean, I think it could get ugly if Ohio State's able to stretch it to a double-digit point lead. I do think it'll be close in the first half, but I just think that over the course of four quarters, Ohio State, the cream will rise to the top. And, I mean, I just think they're that good, and I look for them to make a statement up in Ann Arbor this Saturday.
Definitely. And there's a couple other games. You talked about the two Friday games. The Iowa-Nebraska game, it's a good one to watch. You and I talked about before the spread was favored to Nebraska to start the week.
3.5, the line opened up at Nebraska, favored at home, 3-8, call it what you want. I mean, they're due to win a game, but then the news breaks out, Scott Frost's press conference on Monday, that Martinez is a no-go and is going to have a shoulder repair here at the end of the season. So, you know, the Hawks are – I think they're licking their chops because they don't have much experience at quarterback, they being the Huskers. And, you know, but it's a game where you and I talked off record earlier. I look for fourth and short. Nebraska's going to go. You know, they've struggled in the field goal – kicking department all season long. I just think that, you know, they'll still play a good game, but they're missing some pieces. And on defense, JoJo Doman last week announced that he was done with his season. And that's a sore spot for them on that defensive side of the ball. They played really good this year, but they've been on the field a lot of snaps.
Yeah. And this is a kind of game where stats and analytics don't lie to you. And I think that that this game is going to be the one that's dictated more by, you know, your statisticians. And I'll bring in our statistician right now, Adam.
Yeah.
What's the general public's like idea going for this game, and what have you seen in this this rivalry game at least the past 5 years or so?
So first of all, the public easily is taking the spread with Iowa. 66% of the public is saying Iowa is going to win this game easily. And the last time Nebraska even won against Iowa was 2014, and in the last 10 matchups, Iowa 7-3 in the matchups.
7-3 dominated as of late. You definitely look. This game could go, as we've talked before, one of two ways. Nebraska gets a quality win. That doesn't put like a stamp on the season, but it could put a little bit of Husker fans at ease winning a non-cupcake game. I know Iowa's been around the whole cupcake schedule thing before. But with Nebraska winning a non-cupcake game against a ranked team, Iowa's still ranked. You know, they still find themselves controlling their own destiny, as we talked about with if Wisconsin is to lose on Saturday. You know, it's this game has a weird feel to it. It almost has a feel to the game you go back a couple years ago. Iowa goes into Lincoln undefeated. And Nebraska is hanging their heads on, hey, we don't have a lot to play for, but if we can knock off an undefeated Hawkeye team, that's pretty cool. You know, no one has beaten them throughout the year. The team across the state and Iowa State hadn't beaten them. You know, it's something that they can build towards. And if Scott Frost truly wants to be there for longer than this year, and I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but if Scott Frost really wants to be there and wants to be the head coach, this is the win that starts it all. This win helps you win recruiting battles. This win helps you get some recruits on. This win, if Martinez is out, then solidifies you with being, okay, I can mold different quarterbacks into playing in our system. Maybe the quarterback that they bring in is the quarterback of the future for Nebraska, because Martinez is a senior. He'll be gone after this year. This game, it's of a game. Yes, does Iowa need to win just to keep their hopes alive for winning or going to a Big 12 or Big 10 championship? Yes. But I think there's more pressure on Nebraska in this game than of any of the two schools, just because of how much pressure it's going to put on Scott Frost, win or lose, going into next year.
Yeah, they're looking for some momentum, any kind of momentum. I mean, you know, he has 4 road wins entering next year, which will be his 5th year. 4. And their last win this year was back on October 2nd when they beat Northwestern. So, I mean, it's almost change of seasons, you know, since they've won. And, you know, their fan base they're thirsty for a winner. They want a winner. He pointed the gun at the 4 assistants. They're out the door now. They're gone. So it's his rodeo. And, you know, essentially he's got to get some momentum for next year. And, I mean, they're going to raid the transfer portal, and this roster is going to turn over in the offseason, because as of right now, they only have, I believe it's 9 or 10 commitments. So they got a lot of open scholarships, and, you know, kids at all schools will be making decisions. Do I stay or do I go? It all depends on what that depth chart looks like. But if you're there right now and there's no offensive coordinator, there's no offensive line coach, who do you go to find out where you stand with the early, you know, recruiting deadline, December 15th? You know, it's the first early signing date. So a lot of decisions will be made after this game finishes up Friday in Lincoln. And Nebraska's missing who I really think JoJo Doman, linebacker, he's the heart and soul of their defense, in my opinion. And he decided to forego the rest of the season. He's been a hell of a player there at Nebraska, and I think that's really going to hurt them come Friday, because incrementally you can see Iowa's offensive line getting a little bit better each quarter, and the running backs between Goodson and Gavin Williams are running really hard right now.
Definitely, definitely. And yeah, you've seen that Goodson had a really good game last week. Mm-hmm. And I think they're only going to get better, especially with, like you said, the heart and soul of this Nebraska defense out. Cash, what are you thinking?
Well, to be honest, like, they've been losing close games all year. And even if you look in the matchup versus Iowa, the last three matchups have been decided by about 4 points.
Yeah.
So it's just basically, it's almost like a flip of the coin for a Nebraska game.
And I think it bodes to it, too, as, you know, this season for Nebraska is done. Even if they win, you know, mm-hmm. you're not playing in a bowl game. But that's going to be something that Frost and company, whoever he brings in, has to switch for next year. Yeah. Because good teams win close games. Bad teams seem to find themselves in those positions to not win all these close games. And, you know, I'll turn and look at Iowa State for that same reason. Like, Iowa State puts themselves in a predicament to be in a lot of close games where sometimes they shouldn't be. We understand that. Sometimes they play good competition and play closer games where you're like, huh, I didn't think they were going to play as well. And just stuff to find that margin and exceed it, and to where, you know, if you have a game going down in the fourth quarter, you know, with X, Y, and Z at receiver, my quarterback and my line, I can win a close game. I can go down. And Scott Frost, honestly, in his time there, and I'm not going to put all the blame on a quarterback, mm-hmm. but his time there, he hasn't had that. We yeah. haven't seen mm-hmm. the years of old when Nebraska had the ball, where if you gave that big red offense a chance, or if you wanted those black shirts to make a stop where they could do so, mm-hmm. and you were confident with them going down in a late drive and winning you the game, they don't have that right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a big thing that bodes to making this Nebraska team from good, because they have good pieces. Their defense throughout the entire year, now losing JoJo is going to hurt, obviously, but their defense has been pretty good all throughout the whole year. They've kept them in a lot of
games.
Really,
yeah.
So this team's good. It's going to take the stride from where they're mediocre to good to being great again, mm-hmm. Or at least being in the conversation for anything in the Big Ten. It's going to be from what Scott Frost does starting now, not starting Saturday, starting now, starting yesterday, mm-hmm. and moving forward. So it's going to be definitely interesting. I think this is the game. It might not be as pretty on TV as it is, but it's going to be the game that a lot of people, especially in the Big Ten, are going to be keying in on Friday.
Yeah, they will, and I think that's why you're going to get an Iowa team that's sharp and ready to go, just because they still have a lot to play for. I mean, as long as you take care of business, you can wait it out till Saturday and see how the Minnesota-Wisconsin game goes. Minnesota has a great offensive line, so they may end up running the ball well. Nebraska moved the ball up and down the field on Wisconsin last week, so you know, you never know. That's why they play the games. But one thing that I would like to note is I'm going to go back to turnover margin. And, you know, they have one of two kids, Logan Smothers at quarterback, and then the other kid from just down the road, I think from Hardington, Harburg is his last name. So they're going to get their first career start against Iowa, obviously. So you've got Iowa, who's number three in the country in turnover margin at plus 12. And Nebraska, all their stats off a four-year starter at quarterback, and they're minus 5 on the season. So I got to think turnovers are going to come into play here. Obviously, it's going to be a field position game. So, I mean, if they start shooting themselves in the foot, Iowa will take advantage of that.
Definitely. I think we can move our ways into some picks. There's like two games that are interesting matchup wise for ranked matchups, and that's in the Big 12, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. You have Bedlam, and then you have the rivalry of Ohio State and Michigan. We can start at the earlier kickoff one. We'll start Ohio State, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Let's go Friday. Let's go two Friday games. We have the Iowa State game, which they are playing TCU, who's been beaten up and bruised. The team that did also beat Baylor in the year, so you have to do have to look out for them.
Yep.
Big thing for Iowa State, and it's the last home game that these seniors that are going to play. Yeah. Probably as of right now, the best class to ever come through Iowa State.
Yep.
You have a junior running back that has a chance and probably will go to the draft,
mm-hmm.
and has a chance to beat the record of 23 straight games with a rushing touchdown. I know I'm going to the game. I want to see history myself, and I obviously I'm a huge supporter of the senior class and what they've done for Iowa State as a program,
exactly.
Through Matt Campbell. So that'll be a really good game on Friday. I think that's a 3:30 kick. I'm going to take – I think the spread right now is 15. I think that's a little generous.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going off of TCU's late mishaps.
Mm-hmm.
I think TCU, you know, brings a dynamic game. Even when they had Gary Patterson and Max Dugan has been inconsistently healthy, not healthy. Every time that Max has played against Iowa State, they've trailed early.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State's kind of came out and punched him in the mouth. But every single time that they come back, it's like it's a 10-point game or it's a 7-point game. And TCU's had a chance to come back and make it a close game. This game's going to be the same way. I feel like it's going to be a 35-28 game. Iowa State will win. Breece Hall, good luck stopping him trying to get that record. I think he gets at least 2 touchdowns and breaks the streak there. But I got Iowa State winning by 7 at home on senior night.
Yeah, big game. I'm looking for a big game out of Breece Hall. I kind of think the opposite. I think Iowa State senior day, they'll play with fire in their eyes, and they'll be a huge crowd there to help support them. And I think TCU, for all intents and purposes, is kind of tapped out. I think that's a tired team. And, you know, I'm sure there's quite a few guys that are ready to just hang up the helmet. So I like Iowa State 35 and TCU 13 on Saturday. Or Friday, excuse me.
Yeah, hope they're playing on
Friday. I'm used to saying Saturday.
I know. It's all good.
So, Mitch, who's going to be the quarterback for TCU? Is it because Dugan's still hurt, right?
No, because Dugan played last week.
He did.
Okay. So it's. I don't know if they have announced a starter. That's the reason that I am kind of wishy washy on the whole thing, because Max Dugan brings a different dimension than their other starter. But their other starter came in against Baylor and won them the game. He airs the ball out a lot better. So it's. And that's going to be the thing, too, that comes down to making it – I think that's what makes it a closer game, is because we don't know who we're game planning for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to really throw a wrench in how we come out and play Iowa State comes out and plays defensively in the first half.
So the weird thing is, since 2012, TCU actually is winning the matchup. 5 wins to 4 losses versus Iowa State. And I really just think the spread on this is just a little bit too high for me. I don't know what they're thinking, but it all depends if Dugan plays. If Dugan plays, TCU loses. If his backup plays, TCU has a chance to win by 3. But I'm still going to pick Iowa State 30-20 because I'm going to assume Dugan's going to play.
All right. And now we'll move to the game of the border battles between Nebraska and Iowa. We talked a lot about it during this podcast, and we've mentioned it before, about is this the year Scott's done? What does he need to do? And honestly, this is a game where he's very he very seldomly talks to the media in a very long manner. He doesn't really describe a lot of things. He's a clean cut guy. He says what he's gonna say. And that's all you're going to get. Yep. And I think this is the kind of game that Scott Frost needs. It's a nut-up or shut-up game.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, attack Iowa, mm-hmm. get your win in front of your fans,
mm-hmm.
and kind of show them, hey, this is what you're going to expect next year. That's the only thing that worries me, mm-hmm. is because I think they go out, try to put it to Iowa with a backup quarterback. The Iowa defense is insanely good. They keep them in every single game. This offense is learning. You're losing starters on the defensive side of the ball. I said it in the beginning when we were talking that I thought it would be a bit of a game that we could get away. I went away from that because I didn't know the whole thing with Martinez, but I'm going to get back to it again. I know the spread at the beginning favored Nebraska, and now I was favored by 1.5 points.
Correct, yeah.
I'm going to add points to that. I think Iowa wins by 10-plus, and this game is going to be ugly. I think Iowa comes out with fire in their bellies. They're passionate. They're ready to go. This rivalry has been close before, and I understand that. And all the games Nebraska has played have been close before. But I think if this game starts at like a 14-0 advantage, not that these seniors will, but it's the last game. You're not playing for a bowl game. You're playing for nothing. You might see a couple guys just kind of take it, take the loss. And if that happens, Kirk Ferentz is a great coach, but he knows how much this rivalry means to the state, and he's going to put it on Nebraska, and it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa, their offense by no means is dynamic, but they've been running the ball better. And, you know, like you said, a first-time starting quarterback for Nebraska. Iowa feeds its offense off turnovers, creating additional possessions. And I like Iowa here 27 and Nebraska 13. I think that Nebraska will try and run some option to get this Smothers kid out on the edges a little bit. I think Iowa will handle that once they identify, the speed of the option and kind of just their formations and how they set up. Quarterback draw is always in play, but I'm not confident that he can throw on this secondary. So I like Iowa on the road here.
For me, like if Martinez can keep them within 3 points or so in the last 3 years, I think this backup can at least do what Martinez has been doing since 2018. So I still see this as a close game. The same thing as Nebraska this entire year. They're going to lose another close game. So it's going to be 24-17, Iowa.
Oh, man, you want a heartbreak for Nebraska fans already? The blood pressure medication. Nebraska football sponsored by. No. It's going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think that it could definitely get away from Nebraska. Moving on to the biggest Big Ten game of the year, and that is the matchup in the Big House. That's Ohio State, Michigan. I've loved what I've seen from Michigan all year, except for maybe one game against Michigan State. They played a little sloppy. The defense is getting back into it. The offense is on just a kill streak right now. I doubted McNamara for a long time, even not just this year, but the years prior. And he's kind of shown that he's molded himself into one of the better Michigan quarterbacks that they've had in a while. With all that being said, I got Ohio State by 21.
I like them too. I agree with pretty much everything you say. I just think Ohio State's three receivers are just too much to handle for the Michigan secondary. And McNamara, not real dynamic. He'll just run the offense. I just, like I mentioned earlier, I think they can get out to a double-digit lead here and coast and really show everybody that's watching, maybe at least get them to look at each other and go, it's going to be Ohio State versus Georgia here in the national title game. So impressed with Ohio State. Michigan's had a great year, don't get me wrong. But I like Ohio State here 42 and Michigan 21.
For me, Harbaugh has never really shown me that he can beat Ohio State. Heck, even his predecessor couldn't really beat Ohio State. And I just don't see it happening. See CJ Stroud on their side and said, like, Michigan's offense can't even compete with Ohio State's offense. So this is going to be 50 to 25.
All right, so we're all on the base of about a 21-point swing here. I hope it's a good game for TV purposes. I hope it's a great game. I hope Michigan's able to hang with them. It's just going to – I think that just the way that – Ohio State started off the year with the shaky offense. And me included, I'm not going to lie to you. I was doubting them hard. I was like, this isn't the same Ohio State team we've seen. Last 3 weeks, they've really turned it on, and it's. I don't see a team in the Big Ten competing with them. Now, if they end up winning and go in the four, I think there's a couple teams that are in the four right now that can really hang with Ohio State, and it's going to make it for a good matchup. But we'll just see how that plays out. But we'll go to the night game. Bedlam, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, biggest matchup in the state of Oklahoma this year. A pretty good matchup last week against Iowa State, Oklahoma had, and then Oklahoma State throttled Texas Tech. And the score didn't show it, but they did. Yeah, they allowed 0 points.
Yeah.
And I think this game goes down to both offenses are dynamic. You would give the edge to Oklahoma in the offense with Caleb Williams and Kennedy Brooks and the receivers that Oklahoma has. But then you go to the Oklahoma State side, and you have Spencer Sanders, who's been there before, and this Mike Gundy coach team that's always just cool, calm, and collective, just like his mullet is, just cool, calm, and they aren't – the moment's never too big for them.
Right.
And then you flip over to the defensive side. Oklahoma been gashed a lot on the defensive side of the ball. They let Iowa State come back in and drive the ball on them. They looked really good against a really weak Iowa State offensive line who played pretty bad last week. And the offensive line for Oklahoma State's really good, and they're not going to allow a lot of sacks. And the offense plays into hand of getting the ball out quick, so it doesn't allow you to have a lot of sacks. But Oklahoma State's defense is the best defense in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
If Oklahoma struggled to score against Iowa State, who is a little banged up on the defensive side, they're going to struggle to score against Oklahoma State, and I think that's the turning point of this game. I'm going to go with a 28-21 win for the Cowboys. These two teams will then meet up again in the Big 12 championship game, and I see the same game happening. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I don't think Oklahoma's defense is good enough to rely on their offense to outscore the Cowboys on offense, and I think Oklahoma State wins this game in Bedlam and then waits a week out and then beats them again in Jerry World.
Yeah, I'm on board with you. I like Oklahoma State. I've really liked them over the whole course of the season. They've kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but they pack a defense, whether they're at home or on the road. And I just like what they present on that side of the ball. And I look for them to win this game against Oklahoma. And I like them by the score of 24-17.
Hey, if you guys are right, man, it would be the first time Oklahoma State won since 2014.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and last year was even a blowout. Oklahoma won 41-13.
Oh, geez. Surprising.
Yeah, but the public does agree with both of you guys. 63% of the public does. But for me, I think Oklahoma has this one. I think Caleb Williams has enough, just enough, to beat them 24-21.
Good deal, good deal. And, guys, it was great talking college football this week. Our high school podcast is up, as well as our interview with future Cyclone linebacker Jacob Emming. So be sure and listen to those, too. We're sponsored by Firehouse and Docks. If you can, take family down there over the weekend, have a drink, catch some good football. And you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Our listeners have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll be back next week for Mitch McCumber and Adam Cash. I'm Marty Millard. Thank you, and happy holidays.
Go Bearcats.